Hey, what's up, everyone? I am Ben Kissel, and I'm with Marcus Parks.
Hi, Ben.
We're going to talk to you a little bit about Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. It's the political show that Marcus and I do. It's a lot of fun. If you want to get up to date on the weekly news of politics, check out the show. I think you'll like it.
I think you'll like it. We're reasonable. We're reasonable people.
We're fine people. so that's good. So check it out, because there is a lot to unpack, and hopefully it helps you get through your week. So hail yourselves, everyone. Thanks for listening.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
All right.
Is that a bad warm-up?
I don't know what it was.
Oh, God.
It was interesting. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel with Henry Zebrowski, live from L.A.
Welcome. He was criticizing the coffee machine because it's a nicer... You don't have a coffee machine in New York.
No, we don't have... We have coffee.
You go to a coffee store. You go to the coffee shop.
Or you go to get the Starbucks in your frozen... In the grenades. Starbucks grenades.
You know what you're doing?
They're great.
First of all, what you're doing is you are contributing to your carbon footprint, number one.
That is true.
That's a fucking D-bag.
That is a problem.
You piece of shit.
I have actually had a lot of issues with my carbon footprint lately. It's large. It would take five Earths if everyone...
It really would. What do you mean?
It would take five Earths if everyone consumed as much as I consume. You put it into it. It's an algorithm. You put in like how much plastic do you throw away? How much food do you consume? How much do you fart per day? And then they say it would take five Earths if everyone consumed as much as you consume. So I am part of the problem and I'm working on it.
Do you just sit in your living room wrapped up in a pierced, like, old kiddie pool, like a plastic kiddie pool? Is everything just made out of old takeout containers in your house? Like, what are you doing? Do you just take a bite? Do you just, like, take a Starbucks and you take a sip out of it and throw it behind your shoulder and then Puffin goes and you have her fill
Puffin's
poison?
Puffin's a boy. Puffin is a boy, number one.
Are you one of those that gets mad about people who misgender their dogs?
I don't care. I don't care.
Because you never know. I'm not looking at its pussy.
No.
You want me to go be like, let me see this thing's pussy.
No, Henry, I don't want you to do that.
Let me see its pussy. Is it a man or is it a woman?
Honestly, it would be problematic if you demanded to see my dog's genitals, though. I would have to say, like, this is a red flag.
Let's see it get hard.
No, we don't have to do that. And I don't even like the conversation. I don't even like to entertain the conversation. I did have a question, though, and this is a legitimate question for you, Henry. And it starts with the sentence, is it racist? And I say, is this racist? Yesterday, I was walking around downtown Los Angeles, and I saw a black fellow with the exact same build and weight as Kevin Barnett, and I wanted to give him a hug. Is that racist?
No, you're just making somebody who they're not. It's not about race. It's about a weird, deep, longing sadness about you trying to create something out of nothing.
Okay, because I felt like if I just go and, like, technically I would just be accosting this man with an affectionate hug, but he would just maybe not be, like, that happy about it. So, thank you.
I would put it along the same line as weird, miscellaneous crime, as if you got from Josh Rabinowitz, like, some of Kevin's clothes, and you stuffed them with pillows and stuff, and you, like, hugged that. Like, I would say that. It's all the same.
That would be a massive problem. We are going to get to a story not really that similar to that, but we're going to be going to Russia here in a second.
But I also want to talk about how scared you are of just cars on the road. You come out here.
Oh, my God.
You literally took an Uber from your hotel over to the studio because you're in town for the Kevin Barnett Memorial Show that's happening tonight, but this is released tomorrow on Wednesday.
You missed it.
You didn't come.
Oh, my goodness.
Or you did come, and it was lovely to see you.
Great to see you.
But you were in an Uber. And you're just like, oh, these cars going so fast. And you live in New York City.
This is actually what happened.
It's not like you're from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and you go everywhere in a fucking carriage.
I wasn't lucky enough to be Amish, but what happened was I would never handle it as an Amish person. Oh, are you kidding me?
They work too hard. You do nothing.
They don't work. All they do is work. No, but it's
they
not really
have
work.
To make their own clothes from threads they put together.
No, they buy them now. But I saw the show, the Amish Mafia show. Did you see that reality show?
Natalie worked on it.
Really?
It's all fake.
Oh my! Of course, but it is freaking hilarious. I know how the Amish are.
They cut corners.
They cut corners. I know.
I know that. I know they can be lazy.
The thing is, in my car, I was on the phone. We were doing a group call because this is so interesting for everyone to hear. But I said we were going 105 miles per hour. We were going 105, but it was kilometers. I don't know why her speedometer was in kilometers.
That's an illegal Chinese car.
Well, once she dropped me off, she's like, "This is kilometers, by the way. I heard you talking." So that's why I thought, I was like, "We are really going fast here," and but because I'm like, "It's 105," and then cars were passing us. I'm like, "They must be going 130." So it was an optical illusion.
That really honestly explains.
Yes,
you must have thought like, "Holy shit!"
I thought
shit,
people were like on the Autobahn, and I'm like, why the hell? Anyway, so that is the massive. I think we were just doing like the normal speed limit, but it's 65. Mary, who is producing here, it's 65 miles per hour. That's where we were going. So maybe we're getting past, we're going like 70 miles per hour, but it seemed faster because in my head, I'm like, that's a big number. Anyway,
I was in a Tesla the other day because the we took it, an Uber fucking Tesla showed up and we got in it. And I will say, it is kind of like that. Tesla goes like, you don't know you're going 85 miles an hour. Like, you don't know. It's just that
fast.
You're
going to get that Tesla.
Anything. I want to go faster, man.
I know
I
you do.
I want to go faster.
I know you
fucking
do.
Dig. I want to dig. I was driving a Jeep for poor KB's funeral when I got a Jeep. I tell you one science about a fucking Jeep. Honestly, it's like with the Yukon, too. Everybody's afraid of you. That's what's nice. Mm. You're on the road. You're bigger than everybody else. They're watching up for you. Because you are the danger. You are the one thing to look out for, because you got the horsepower in order to fucking kill their whole family if you want to. And that's my choice.
The psychology of being someone who is short is just, it is honestly horrifying. It really scares me because I don't care.
I think it's important for people to be afraid of me if they can be.
If they can be.
I need to be able to drop that elbow because I have a family to protect. Wendy's looking at me.
Wendy is for food.
And protection.
Okay.
So if Wendy just goes points and wants me to kill somebody, I got to be able to do it.
I understand. Thankfully, she can't point. And hopefully the slime is getting figured out. By the way, slime.
I'll show you some.
Yeah, I will see it. I'm going to see it tomorrow, perhaps.
Honestly, well, I'll go around. There's a bit of a tour I can do for you. And this is not even a joke. Like, okay. Because this is also what I want to talk about. So, yeah, everyone tells me, that's not fun. It's vomit. I get it, all right? It is. A lot of times it is vomit, okay?
Sometimes. It would be, honestly, though, if it is vomit, we need to talk about drinking in your neighborhood.
Saying.
That must be, like, are you in, like, an only Irish neighborhood? Like, what is happening?
No, this is not an Irish neighborhood.
Not to over-stereotype the Irish.
Yes, please protect them.
Yes.
But I don't understand the amount of vomit. And I know that, and I thought it was a junky thing, and then maybe it's a dog-based behavior as well, but I'm not sure. But if not, if my streets are not covered with miscellaneous slime, they're most certainly covered with puddles of fucking vomit, and I don't live on Bourbon Street. Like, I live in a normal neighborhood.
Right. No, I completely understand. All right. Well, speaking of true horror, we have to do an update on Bruce MacArthur. Some new information has come to light regarding his arrest. Now, this is straight out of Silence of the Lambs. Evidently, when he was arrested, the cops roll up, they bang down the door. There is a man in his bed, tied up, ready to be victim number 9?
Yeah.
I believe number 9. And he was, God knows, what do you think, 15 minutes away, an hour away from being dead? But
or
now we're,
he was being prepped. It seems
or
to
he was
be,
being prepped, yeah.
We don't know, because what we basically found is when the police are out, according to the statement when they picked him up, he had a victim handcuffed to his bed.
Oof.
And next thing they found was a group on his desktop computer, when they were searching through all his information, they found these files on his desk that seemed to have the first names of all of the men that ended up being his victims.
Right.
And there was a final file that I believe was just titled John, which was the name of the man handcuffed to the bed.
Dude, that is so freaking scary. This is like one of the times where if you're a police officer, this is like, I can retire now.
Yeah,
This is like the fucking crime story of your life.
This is it.
To rescue this guy.
You now become a haunted person.
For sure. And rightfully so.
Because this
And you know how Canadians are when they're haunted.
Oh.
Oh my God.
I tell you what, I tell you how to be. Oh, I see how you're haunted over there, but you know how you gotta be. You gotta be more haunted like me and my buddy Greg. My buddy Greg's so haunted he can't even go by a cemetery to visit his grandmother, because next thing you know, he's digging it up looking for bones. It's fucking awful. But a part of it is that Bruce MacArthur is going to be a massive heavy hitter for us eventually.
He will be.
But what they found in the files were pictures of each of the victims.
Yeah.
And they assume either unconscious or dead, wrapped in, they were completely shaved. They were put in fur coats and hats.
So weird.
and they would put little cigars in their limp lips. Mary, so this he is just, fucked up. He You're just, laughing. He You're laughing.
He wanted to make them like Milton Berle. Like, what did he? What was he doing? Like, he's
it's
like
the Monopoly Man murderer.
Yeah,
it he was really, making them all little cartoony
Monopoly
millionaires.
Man, little vaudeville performers. It is such a bizarre thing. I've never heard of that before. And well, all the serial killers that we've covered, has anyone like
Jerry Brudos?
What did did he dress them?
He would do the pictures of severed feet with the feet and in the high heels. We had BTK who did all the self portraiture.
That was self portraits though.
But there are other people that have had, because it depends on what your trophy was, and obviously this is what your trophy is, and this is a part of where I think what people kept saying was that how like in modern day with the internet we're never going to have like these big time mythological serial killers anymore. But actually, I think that we're seeing that they actually have a lot more tools at their disposal. Being able to take these pictures and not having to take them to a place to get developed like they used to be, like not having to go into an Eckerd's and wink at the guy and give him a $5 bill and being like, let's pretend we didn't see what's on that roll.
Right, that was old school.
Yeah, because I had that happen a couple times. Yeah.
But you just saw grandmas in the bathroom.
I saw a couple old naked women on a bathroom. I saw a woman with her vagina. It was a nice woman in her 40s, and it was a series of pictures of her spread eagle with her vagina, and she'd written in pen around her vagina, "Wish you were here."
Well, that's a strange Pink Floyd song. So we all know Bruce MacArthur. He tormented the LGBT community in Toronto, mostly Middle Eastern men. So it's great that he's been caught, and it is wonderful that he is going to go away.
He's going to, which is rare. In a Canadian prison terms, they don't do a lot of life sentences. It's pretty like that is their heaviest.
Yeah.
Their heaviest sentence. He is an obvious madman. A lot of this stuff's going to come out about him. We're going to find out what it is. But it's fucked how long he got to operate.
It really is. They didn't get him until December, until 2017. They were able to link his Dodge Caravan. He had a red Dodge Caravan. And they were able to link him to that after his final victim, Kinsman, was getting into it. His last victim, Kinsman, was getting into it. They had surveillance footage of that Dodge Caravan. They linked it back to MacArthur. In December of that year, police searched MacArthur's home and found devices with more than 100 photos of Kinsman dating back to 2007, but 18 of them were taken while he was dead. This dude was, as Henry just mentioned, was operating for a long time.
And it was an under-investigated crime because of the nature of his victims. Number one, because you have men of Middle Eastern origin that are and very various Asian origins that were gay in that gay community, and they kind of left them to their own because they have these weird. They're obviously. I'm not gonna blame the police. I am gonna blame the police for the fact that they didn't fully engage, but they still kind of believe that like, yeah, but these guys are drifters. I mean, like, no, they're just gay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, they live their normal lives, and you probably would have been nice if you maybe looked into it a little bit harder than you did.
Oh, totally. And it was devastating for the family of these victims, obviously. Karen Coles, a sister of Kinsman, said, "When he was missing, I'd lie awake at night wondering where he was and what he might have suffered." And she says, "Now I lie awake and think about how he was murdered and dismembered by someone he knew." So MacArthur was such a sociopath. He was actually friends with these people, which I suppose explains how he was able to get them in such, comfortable positions, I guess.
This is another comment, because basically from reading from this article I'm reading from, it's very interesting. So he obviously, we now know that he dismembered the bodies and he hid a bunch of planters from where he was working, right?
Right.
He would go and he would disseminate the body parts. Now, the majority of the men's remains were hidden inside large outdoor planters at a home where he worked. The rest were buried in a ravine adjacent to that property. Mm. The owner of the home, Karen Frazier, last week, 8 trees the city of Toronto has planted along the ravine to honor the men, which is very nice, 2 of whom she said she met when they accompanied MacArthur as he worked on her property. She said the MacArthur who killed the victims is not the man she and her husband knew. We call it Bruce A and Bruce B. Bruce A was a man who seemed to have made decisions about his life and was very happy with it. He enjoyed his job. He enjoyed his clients. He never got bored with the plants.
He never got bored with the plants
never
filled
got
with
bored.
Bodies,
this
huh?
is what it says here. This is the word for word. He was very talented at it. He was very fond of his children. He was a great grandfather. He was the best friend, neighbor, relative that anyone could want. That was Bruce A.
Okay.
Bruce B. Who is that? I don't know.
That's not. It seems like they're really focusing on Bruce A.
Yeah.
And
how
I don't
he
think
was.
The A overshadows the B in this case. I think it's more like Bruce A is a raging sociopath who murders a bunch of people and puts them in planters.
And it's the same Bruce as Bruce B.
Yes, the same guy. Yeah. But as forementioned, when it comes to the LGBT community, this is a quote here. For years, members of the LGBT community in Toronto believed they were being targeted by a killer, and they were right. The prosecutor said MacArthur shaved victims after he killed them and kept some hair stored. He also held on to items belonging to the people. So this dude, yeah, we are going to do a deep dive on Bruce MacArthur, because when do you think this started? I mean, it seems like 2000 was when he started hanging around the gay scene in Toronto, and yes. I'm assuming it started pretty soon at that point.
Well, we're going to find out, and we're going to see what we know very little about his growing up. Yet,
right.
Like that, all those details will come out, and that's when we'll be able to do our episode.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Man, so it's so fucked up, though.
It's crazy, man.
You know, I will tell you, I found a bag of hair of my own.
What do you mean?
The last time I shaved my beard, and it's true.
Why did you keep your hair?
You know.
Where are the bodies? Are you hiding the bodies, Henry?
I just have ideas sometimes.
No, but not, honestly, you shaved your beard when you were like 34 years old. You were like 34?
Yeah, I mean, I always shave it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But this wasn't this last one.
Okay.
This isn't the time I shaved the beard the last time.
Why on earth? So then you got a sandwich bag,
I put hair in it because I thought it was some funny. It was some bit I was going to do with it. There was like something I wanted to do.
What bit?
So I don't know.
Like a serial killer Carrot Top? What bit are you going to do with a bag of hair? What audience do you think would like for you to open up a bag and then just like, do you throw it like you're LeBron James when he does it with talcum powder?
Our audience loves whatever is just
honestly,
like they love it when we give.
You're gonna throw your beard hair onto our audience.
No, but it was some bit. I forgot what we were doing. I want to say it was from when. Oh yes, it was when we were campaigning for the Webby Award. I had shaved off my beard hair because that was a thing I was going to do. I was going to say,
right.
I was saying it was back hair, but I was going to mail out bits of my beard hair because I won't make Natalie shave my back because it's a whole long thing where it's like, I also don't want to be itchy.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
no,
really
just keep
disgusting.
The hair. Keep the hair.
But
at
I was going to shave. No, I threw the hair out once I found the
bag. No, I'm staying on your back. Yes, you never should have had the hair in a Ziploc bag to begin with.
No,
I don't think it's legal to just mail hair to someone. You're like,
we find out?
Like a barber Unabomber? What
Mary,
is happening?
Would you actually look that up if it actually is legal to mail hair? It is.
I don't know if it's not.
Why not?
But it seems like it's like body. It's like part. I don't know. It just seems weird to mail hair to people. If I opened up a package and it was full of human hair, I would be extremely disturbed.
But that's,
and wonder where is the toddler?
For it.
Where is the baby that this belongs to?
They wanted it because a part of it
Who
was the
it?
It was the drive. I said, if you can convince me that you, I believe I said five other people to vote for us for the Webbies, I will send you a patch of my back hair.
I don't remember that, Alfer.
And I had one person say that they wanted it.
Did you get the address from that person?
No, I never go. I never
and
do
next
that
thing
work.
You know, they're planting it all around their crime sprees. And then how is Henry in Portland, Oregon, and also in Los Angeles? And now we have a whole.
I tell you what I heard about Henry. I heard he's one of the skinwalkers.
Yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, you're a cryptid, and everyone's hunting you down and trying to kill you,
Mary.
Believe it or not, there's no rules about human hair.
That's
However, human corpses, human organs or body parts or embryos or disinterred human remains are prohibited. However, you might be interested that anything that's pornographic or obscene is prohibited. So maybe that counts to your hair.
It counts.
So I can't send a nude picture of myself to my wife over the fucking
in the
if
snail
I want
mail?
To. Yes,
over
if I want
the US
to.
Postal Service?
Absolutely.
No, but why would she want that? Henry, in what world would Natalie want to go to the mailbox? It already sucks to have to do, and then she opens it up. She's like, oh, this is from Henry. Maybe it's a nice postcard from Australia, perhaps. And then it's just your butt. It's just a picture of you on a bed, spread eagle, somehow taking a selfie.
La la, with the finger to the corner of the mouth.
That's the last day of your marriage.
What I would say is that it would be really nice if, like if you were dying in a hospital, right? If you're in hospice. Now think about this, right? Right before
How do
you
we
go,
even get to,
listen
this.
To this?
We were just talking about Bruce MacArthur.
No, you take a picture of your penis while you're in there because you just want to do it. And then one last, with you go and you send out the picture and it goes, and if you pass, you have a family member, send that letter to your wife, and wouldn't it be nice?
No, it would not be nice.
For one last message.
No, I don't think that they would like that. I don't think that they would like that.
I don't know.
That is worse, although I will say...
They've been through your marriage.
For Kevin's funeral, it was an open casket, and I want an open casket, but I just want the bottom half. I want the bottom half open casket. That's what I want. No pants. No pants, oh, just God. A nice little thong,
just
and then
let
everyone
it...
can remember me as I am.
I just need 10 more years.
Yes, absolutely. Well, no one's allowed to
no
die.
No one's allowed to
no
die.
No one in our family. No listeners are allowed to die. We got 10-year, it's a 10-year break.
That's it.
Well, speaking of, well, I guess I kind of alluded to the death of a child, Casey Anthony, and nudity. Casey Anthony is back in the news once again. Anytime she speaks, she seems to get covered. And this is kind of interesting. She says she's open to reconciling with her father, but we'll read the quote. It doesn't really sound like she is. Is. And then she's also possibly considering taking $500,000 to pose nude in the classiest magazine of all time, Hustler.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Larry Flint's Hustler.
But honestly, Hustler, I mean, Larry Flint was a warrior for the First Amendment.
What he did to Jerry Falwell, who was a total scumbag, evangelical con man, was awesome. I like that. The People versus Larry Flint is legitimately a good movie.
Great movie. Yeah. Woody Harrelson's fucking awesome, and Courtney Love's awesome.
Nails it.
But I think that obviously it's her prerogative. I believe if you were going to, if there was a career track for Casey Anthony
this
from here on out,
right? Yeah.
This is kind of how you got to go. Look at what happened with, remember when Tonya Harding got into boxing?
That's right.
She could do something like that. She could kind of pivot into that world. She could maybe put out a sex tape, make
Tonya,
that kind of money.
So basically, whatever your crime is that got you like more famous, Tonya Harding, you know, the beat down on the knee for Nancy Kerrigan, not good by any means, certainly a horrible assault. So now you have to be a boxer. You kill your kid, now you have to, well, actually, posing nude, there's nothing wrong with posing nude.
There's absolutely nothing.
Or doing it. So it's not even a punishment at all.
It's absolutely
not a
punishment.
It's actually fine.
You just get to make a lot more money doing it than a lot of people do it when they have to come to Hollywood for the first time.
$500,000. So she kills her kid. And it's going to be, well, Henry, you should read some of these quotes. We have...
Oh, yeah, this is all the shit. So part of it, so what we covered a little bit was that George Anthony got into a very bad car wreck and he almost died.
He almost died. And he was, and so obviously the idea of reconciliation comes to the mind.
But so when on the hospital bed, George Anthony basically says he'd like to see his daughter again and he forgave her for what she put the family through, which is, again, sure. I mean, I don't know if I would ever be able to do that, especially not only did you kill my fucking granddaughter, but you also accused me of molesting you your whole childhood.
Honestly, in this quote, I don't even know if she did forgive him or take it back, because now this quote, it's like she's such a sociopath.
So she did an interview for Daily Mail TV, and this is Casey Anthony. I'll say that I will always love my dad. Like, hopefully in time he can heal, like we can heal from everything. Better to do it together than apart. We'll see. Time will tell. And I'll tell you what, it would take more than one visit. Ugh. It would take more than one on I love you. All right? He has to admit to things before he can heal. Until then, he is not going to do anything but suffer.
It is so horrifying.
Anything
she is
but
so
suffer.
Horrible.
Fuck you, Dad.
Oh, my God. So now she literally is just like, my dad's going to do nothing but suffer. And then when she says he's got to admit things before he can heal, like all of that stuff was just made up by the defense. She admitted that he was a great father. If you remember the prison when they taped their prison conversations.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm going to go away. And she's like, you were a great dad. All of stuff. All of that is nonsense. So maybe she has just gone on now mentally to believe.
Oh,
defense,
absolutely.
Perhaps.
I think so. I think I'm listening to Dirty John currently because I'm going through, because Natalie was just like, oh, you gotta fucking hear this, you gotta hear. So I'm into it. It's really, really interesting. But a part of it is that if you are willing to go so deep and deep and deep on a lie, right?
We know that she could.
She had already.
I mean, when she walked them through the building that she didn't work at and then finally got to a tangible wall that was just like, okay.
Okay. She is a very, being like, you don't act like you don't know me, bitch, and all fucking shit.
It's amazing.
She is very a cunning, very dangerous person.
She really is, man.
But to listen to this quote about herself says.
This is Casey Anthony describing her. Casey on Casey describing herself.
It is obvious that I'm a strong-minded person. I can move past things.
Ugh.
Not that they leave my mind. It's just that I've always just been taught how to hide my suffering with a smile. And we are taught that. It's hard to change it. I have a lot of things coming up in 2019 that will probably make some heads spin.
Oh, my God.
What is she fucking... Is this Lindsay Lohan Mykonos?
It really is, man. She is fully leaning in to the celebrity.
Look at this. I like to think I have what it takes to pose in a girly magazine. I work hard on keeping fit. I may take him up on his offer.
So I think that's a yes. Again, that's a $500,000 offer from Hustler. And because she was found not guilty, she can take all of that money. She doesn't have to pay anybody. There's no civil case against her. It's all going to be her cash. So she is going to be living a hell of a lot better than the vast majority of people because she murdered her daughter.
There's a couple of people that do that, though. They figure out how to make it work.
What does that say about our culture, though? The fact that she literally is now, as time goes on, we will, as the pain sort of subsides a little bit, and it already has, she is just going to become a mainstream person. I firmly believe it.
It's possible. Look at O.J. Simpson. He's in the mix. People are taking selfies with him. He's just some cool guy walking around. Like, he is just an ex-football player.
Right.
We are kind of seeing, I think there's a lot of things currently that show sort of the true psychotic underbelly of certain businesses, like, say, politics and show business, where you look at this stuff where truly it is whatever puts butts in seats. Well, that is all that matters with both of those industries.
Absolutely. And of course,
they never mince words about it being so.
No.
They don't want you to think that this is not some kind of meritocracy here. You just need to be able to put papers on the fucking screen and keep them there.
That is it. It doesn't matter why they're there. I was born with three necks. You'd be like, you're a star.
At least that's innocent.
That's innocent.
You're born with 5 feet. Do what you got to do, buddy.
Do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, make it work.
That's one of my pet peeves. Whoa. We were watching professional wrestling, and there's a little character. His name is Hornswoggle, and he's a little person. And we was watching it with somebody, and they were like, oh, it's not right what they're doing to that man. I'm like, he is just wrestling.
Yeah, he's wrestling.
Let him wrestle.
Yeah.
I hate that's the flip side of that is like, I cannot believe they're exploiting that person. It's like, he made a choice and he's on WWE. He's in wrestling money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a dream job. Yeah. So anyway, that's my only issue with all that, because now apparently in Florida, they're thinking about banning dwarf tossing once again, because I thought it was already banned.
I'll tell you what.
I don't know. I didn't know it was such a big thing that it deserved a ban, but evidently it's quite a common bar gag, I guess.
You cut to me when I'm 45 and we're doing the last podcast cruises, like, I don't know what the hell we're going to be doing at that point. But I mean, like, you can pay a couple of grand to toss me.
Oh, I'll toss you.
Yeah, baby, you got it. Maybe what we'll do is people will pay you. We split the money for you to toss me.
It'd be great. It'll be absolutely perfect.
And that's just all it is. That's what the VIP meet and greet slowly turns into.
Just tossing Henry. Honestly.
Being a big ball pit.
I'd pay money.
That'd be kind of cute.
I'd pay you to do it. So Casey Anthony predicted men and women would buy the issue with her in it. And she says, my nudes will fly off the shelf, even if it's soft porn. And I have to look inside of myself and ask, would I buy that or would I look at it? And there is a large section of my mind that is battling with another large section of my mind. And it would be interesting.
I definitely am not going to pay for it.
No, I don't think that would be appropriate.
But will my fingers deepen their weakness, deepen their moral weakness? Because that's true. Because I don't blame my mind. My spirit is pure.
Oh,
that's what
it is.
Right? My spirit is pure. My mind is pure. You know those dirty little fuckers?
Your fingers.
My hands.
Who controls your hands?
Don't know.
Your brain does.
No.
It's your mind.
It's somebody else comes. The one within. Who did Bundy call? What was it? The stranger. The entity.
Yeah, the entity.
The entity steps forward and all of a sudden,
so it's just like a porn entity, and you just look at people who've killed their children.
Not always.
It's a strange new category on Pornhub.
I don't want it to be a category in Pornhub, but I'm just saying that sometimes it's a curiosity. And you know when it still kills the cat, but right before it kills the cat, cat's having a lot of fun.
I guess so.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, I think, I think that would definitely be a moment where you get notched down of, like, your morality. Like, it's definitely, like, it's a hit to your morality, I think, to look at it. But I'm not saying it's just fucking fascinating.
Well, no, it's definitely a hit to your morality. You're definitely taking, like, it's like D&D points. Like, you're going to lose constitution points for doing it.
And I don't know if fascinating is
the right word. And I would never do it in this office, and I would never do it in my home. But you know where it's going to fucking happen? In a hotel room.
Yeah, well, hotel rooms are a little different.
That's when the reality all changes. You know that. You go into a hotel room and you're on the road, and that man that is alone in that bed in there, because I would never, you know, it's like, I love my wife. I love all that kind of,
sure.
It's just the stupid, it's the pornography.
You sound like Jerry Falwell. All right, so that's the update on Casey Anthony. Who knows? This world is so freaking crazy right now. I would not be surprised 2019 Casey Anthony becomes mainstream and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at some point if she has a show.
I truly, it's not that they won't try. I don't think human beings would allow it to happen.
But
I
she
really
wore her
think.
RBG shirt. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She wore it. She's a
hero.
RBG.
Oh, wait a second. Everything's flipped for me. She's a hero.
She's a hero. So.
What?
I know it.
Whoa. I weep for her future. I wish her to be saved.
Oh, my.
But you know what I mean. In the end, I don't think that people will watch it. I think that people will protest and people will be upset.
Yeah,
but a couple of her nudies, they will allow her to fully...
I'm surprised Hustler has 500K to dole out. Right? I can't believe that they're doing anything as far as sales go.
Making piss is really cheap. You just need a lot of water. It's not a lot of overhead over there.
I guess so. All right. Well, let's go on to Russia here.
Do they still pee on their ankles in Hustler magazine?
Hustler goes wild. I mean, they're always as Hustler, Cherry.
Is it still full penetration? They do. Is it hardcore? Is it softcore?
I don't think Hustler is shit. I haven't honestly looked at a Hustler in forever.
Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell had an interview in Hustler magazine like two cycles ago.
So you've been in Hustler and Fangoria.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. None of our interviews are on the children's section. That's for sure.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, let's move on here. Speaking of kids, I guess this dude. Let's do this Russian story.
Yes, you cover this story. Now, this was a guy. I believe this came out a bunch of years ago that he was like this.
He's a weirdo. So this is a Russian psychopath who dug up girls' bodies and turned them into dolls. Could walk free. A deranged dude. He dug up the bodies of 26. So this is like Ed Gein on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
26, and he kind of looks like Ed Gein. A little bit. He dug up 26 young girls and turned them into, quote, human dolls. He could walk free from a psychiatric unit despite the fury of his victims. This dude is Anatoly Moskvin. He's a 52-year-old guy. They say he's a 52-year-old historian, but I don't think that that's accurate.
I mean, is it a historian? Does it view that all of the graveyards are like libraries for him?
I guess so. From the Russian city of Nizhny Novgorod, he was arrested and sentenced to compulsory psychiatric treatment after 24 mummified bodies were discovered at his apartment in 2011.
That's
so the guy actually didn't even... 2011,
but he also
not that long of a time.
He didn't kill these people, right?
No, he didn't kill them. Psychiatrists claimed that they had cured the man and recommended that he continue receiving treatment as an outpatient. However, they recently reversed their decision and demanded that his treatment be extended indefinitely. But the body snatcher could now walk free on a technicality as the order keeping him in the secure hospital expired in December. So. This is like such a strange story to me because the guy obviously has deep psychological issues.
What?
Would he ever cross over and actually start taking lives to make them dolls?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He
did
do it. It wasn't very often, but he definitely did do it. I like this concept right here when it said, according to the Wikipedia page, Anatoly Moskvin, when his parents used to come over, who shared the apartment with him.
Oh, my God. How did you know? You got to know your kids into this stuff.
He said they had mistaken the mummies for large dolls.
Well, yeah, I mean, the kids, the 26
kids?
Were 3 to 12 years old, so I don't know if it, that's a pretty big freaking large doll, a 12-year-old.
Now, Moskvin explained his interest in the dead attributed to a childhood incident during which he witnessed a funeral procession for an 11-year-old girl. Moskvin alleged that the participants forced him to kiss the dead girl's face, writing that an adult pushed my face down onto the waxy forehead of the girl in an embroidered cap, and there was nothing I could do but kiss her as ordered.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what a Russian funeral is like, but that doesn't... I hope that's not normal. So... He would dry the bodies out as you do, like freaking beef jerky. He would wrap their limbs in strips of cloth or would stuff them with padding, sometimes adding wax masks decorated with nail polish over their faces. He would then dress them in brightly colored children's clothes and wigs. Some also had music boxes inside of their rib cages.
Yeah.
That is. What
that's
do you mean?
That's how you do it.
That's your response.
You do it right there.
Pardon?
I guess that's how you do it.
I have never heard of that before.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it before. I'm not a crafty guy.
Oh, my God.
I don't really
God.
Do that stuff. The last thing I'd ever did, I don't really do none of that plaster Paris or none of that sort of paper mache kind of work there. So I guess that's how you do that. Yeah.
This guy, I don't think he's a heavy hitter because up to this point, he hasn't actually murdered anyone.
No.
But he is so. He used to host tea parties for the dolls, and they sang children's songs together and turned.
Well, they weren't singing the song.
No, I think they were pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And he turned on cartoons when he worked at a computer. So
I'll tell you what, though.
Maybe just have a family. Maybe he just wanted a family.
No, that's such a fucking hassle. Look at how
what?
Cute
this is an
look
hassle.
How cute the dolls are, though.
That is, I'm gonna vomit. That is
look at
so
how cute the dolls
horrifying.
Are. Oh my God, that's so precious. Who's this? Anne Bradley?
Oh.
I believe that's what my mom does. My mom does a lot of doll work and stuff like that. Look at her. Oh, look at her cute little lips you put on there like a
God.
Bunch of licorice.
That is horrifying.
Oh, wow. That is just great.
It looks like...
He was a professor.
He was a historian indeed.
So does that make him like... this is how I imagine the real Professor Plum lived.
Yeah.
It was like this. Look at all of these. You know, I want to tell you what, because I remember this story came up quite a bit ago, because it was 2011. I remember people talking about this back in the day, especially like early on the internet, talking about this story, and it was always deep kind of on 4chan of these pictures.
This story
these,
here?
Yeah, these dolls, you
yeah.
know? And I really haven't looked at them since, and now that I'm looking again...
Are you going to try to buy one? Don't purchase it. If I go to your house and you have the Hustler with Casey Anthony in it and one of these dolls, you're going to have to find Christ. I'm going to force you. I am going to force you. I will go to church with you.
No,
we need
I
to
just
say
start
this.
Telling people I'm a historian. I'm a historian. All of this is archive.
Apparently, yeah. His mom, as Henry said, his mom said, we saw the dolls, but we did not suspect there were dead bodies inside. They are dead bodies, number one. He says, we thought it was his hobby. And I guess they were right about that. It was sort of his hobby, wasn't it?
Say something to your fucking son.
Oh,
if you are living currently, if you're a parent that's living with a child that has human-sized dolls positioned all over the house that he makes sing every single day, maybe check in and be like, hey,
just check,
what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, this is a reach out. Hey, here is us like kind of trying to have a nice, normal evening for once, but we're going to all,
just ask if they're corpses.
There's
just
an elephant in the room. Just, are these dead bodies?
Are these dead bodies? And then just like see if he's like be like, oh, okay, well, let's get rid of those then.
If he hesitates.
They
are. Because you know what you can do?
They also honestly. Look, by the way, they also look like dead bodies because no store is selling those.
No.
They're horrifying.
Absolutely not. It's just, you don't have to put a bunch of judgment on him either. You know what I mean? You don't have to go and tell
just
him
ask.
He's gross or he's sick or all this kind of stuff. You can, as a family member, be like, hey, listen.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be really tired from your job of being a historian. you seem to be really stressed out. Whatever it is going
sure.
on. I know that you have these hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Like grave robbing and then dressing up the corpses.
Don't ever say the words out loud ever again.
Okay, great.
But what we're going to do is we're going to take these dolls, because we're all going to call them dolls.
Okay, great.
And we're going to get rid of them. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get you some new hobbies and maybe, just maybe, put you on an extended vacation in a place where they pump you through a full Thorazine. Just a couple years, because honestly, how nice would it be to be in an insane asylum for like a little bit?
That's great. Then I can go to the graveyard and rob some graves and
No,
I love
no,
it.
No.
I love it.
But you know what I mean? Like,
this
you
is
can
what
non-judgmentally
he said.
Maybe handle it
yeah.
and be like, let's solve
well,
this
I mean,
problem.
And honestly, by Russian standards, they didn't throw the book at him. He wasn't incarcerated in America. He would be in federal prison.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Because
for
we understand
robbing.
those people would have kind of probably need to be in a concrete square. But he was really good at his job at being a historian.
Historian. Yeah, a Russian historian. And, you know, they don't mess around with their history whatsoever. It's
no,
the truth.
No.
But he said this. Moskin gave detectives conflicting explanations for his actions. He said he initially said that he was lonely and wanted to communicate with the girls.
Sure.
But later claimed he had tried to find ways to resurrect them. He also said he wanted to become a mummification expert.
We need to watch Marcus.
Yeah?
Marcus
you think
spends
so?
A lot of time working alone in that little room in his apartment. All right?
Well,
we
he's
need...
in love. He's got engaged.
I know that.
He doesn't live with his parents.
We just need to speak with Carolina.
Yeah.
Make sure every once in a while, like, it's not an invasion of trust. Just look at his emails.
Yeah, sure.
Just kind of follow him once.
Well, yeah.
And say, like, when he goes, if he ever leaves in the middle of the night for some reason, after hours and hours of work and
just jokingly say stuff like, going to kill someone, huh?
Yeah.
And then just see how he reacts.
Because if he goes, like, Carolina, stop messing with my business. We know that he's
it's
doing
possible.
This.
Be like, I was just joking. So that's it. You can actually find a lot about people just with a little joke.
Well, you know, see how they react.
Yes.
Because what triggers people was really evident to what they really feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite a bit.
So that is a little tale from the wonderful land of Mother Russia.
Wow.
And I don't know. Maybe the guy, because it doesn't seem like he has plans to stop. As a matter of fact, he has said that he's just going to continue. So I don't know.
So we have some, what I love our listeners so goddamn much. And we check the side stories email every day. And we love getting emails from you guys. And this is a fun little story. Again, if you ever want to send us a story for us to cover, or is there anything you're interested in, it's always sidestories, lpotl@gmail.com.
So this dude, I'll just call, his name is Tim. He lives by Dwayne Johnson. For those that don't recall, Dwayne Johnson was the dude who threw the meth party for his dying wife. And in a strange way, it was kind of sweet.
It's kind of weirdly romantic. I actually had someone send a Twitter message being like, you could tell my emotional state by the fact that I just teared up at the romance level of the meth death party relationship.
It really was. Like, he went all out, and he really risked his freedom to show his wife one last good time. So this is the email coming in from Tim. He says, I live two blocks down from Dwayne in the tiny house of Searles. I met him in early 2018. I was walking around town, and when I walked by his place, he was jamming to the Ride the Lightning album of Metallica.
Fuck yeah, dude.
This dude is like nonstop rock.
Yeah.
He says, my favorite band and album. Then struck up a conversation with him. It led him to telling me a story about how he got abducted by aliens.
Fuck yeah.
That's when his paranoia began. Or so he says. I say it's the meth. And I think, Tim, you might be onto something. I think it could be the meth as well. I introduced him to your podcast. So it's just amazing that this dude maybe listened to us.
Maybe
listened
to us.
And for some reason, we have a couple of celebrities that listen to us. But for some reason, I was like, Henry wrote back in a text. He was like, I think we made it.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine the reach. Like, we got Dwayne Johnson from Searles.
Yeah. Honestly, it makes me laugh because it's something. It was like the guy that got shot by his dad that then did the interview on national television with the last podcast t-shirt on. And I was like, this is our legacy.
So what episodes did he listen to? Well, he says, I listened to the Betty and Barney Hill episodes with this man.
That's fucking awesome.
Wayne loved and continued to listen to the last podcast. I want to thank, this is so freaking funny. I want to thank you guys for the show. I got into a bad car accident. He broke his ankle and his foot. Well, I'm happy that you're feeling better now. I spent 4 months in a wheelchair. Thank you so much for listening, Tim. That story. So Dwayne Johnson listens to the show. We've officially made it.
We did.
And
man,
if we can keep the meth,
and
if
that's
we
not can the keep, rock.
That's not the rock. No, we don't even. I don't. The Rock is just going to criticize
us.
He's
so busy. He's so busy.
And honestly, he's just going to mock us. And I don't need all of that. I'm a Stone Cold Mankind guy anyway. And quite frankly,
I like him.
I don't hate that. I'm talking about wrestling, not Dwayne Johnson as a person, because I interviewed Mick Foley and he said the only match that he doesn't ever talk about, nor does he like, and he says no one should watch it, is the I Quit match with he and The Rock when his arms are handcuffed behind his back, his hands are handcuffed behind his back, and he took like 30 straight chair shots to the head.
Shit.
And then his family was crying in the front row.
Whoa.
So anyway, that's not The Rock's fault. They agreed upon.
They agreed on that.
The Mankind was so crazy. So anyway, thank you, Tim, for the email. Fascinating and just so freaking funny to know that this dude listened to our Betty and Barney Hill episodes. And I hope he liked them. If we can keep someone with a brain full of meth entertained,
hey,
I actually think that's hard to do.
I think so because they are, I mean, honestly, talk about short attention span.
Right.
Being able to lock into, like, those are 2.5-hour episodes that were thick with details about aliens. And that shows we're doing our job at the speed we need to do our job at. And we have to keep it going. It's a matter of fact, we're all running on Duncan. Right?
All the time.
So it's already like a light level of speed.
Absolutely. All right. So just the final story. This is, I'm going to say it's rare that we see a person who was on trial, accused of a crime, make it to Hero of the Week, which we don't do every week, but we'll just do it this week.
I just like do whatever. We basically just do whatever we want, whatever it is that we would like to do it.
So maybe you guys know this dude. It's sportscaster Warner Wolf. He was arrested for allegedly removing a sign with racist connotations. So he's a longtime sportscaster. Warner Wolf has been arrested for allegedly taking down a sign that spelled out the words plantation at his gated community in Florida. Multiple outlets reported that this dude is 81 years old.
Fuck yeah.
Found the name of his private community. It's called the Classic Plantation Estate in Naples, offensive, and one of the words removed. So he went to like their little whatever council, and he's like, let's get these words out of there. And of course, they're old curmudgeons, and you try to get someone, a retiree in Florida, to do something.
To fucking truly get him engaged. He's 81 years old. He's probably had a couple.
Oh, right? Sure, of course.
I imagine. And finally, he's just like,
I'm going to take down that fucking sign.
Take it down, brother.
I'm taking down that sign right now. What are they going to do? They're going to arrest an 81-year-old man? And I wonder what the struggle physically was for him to take off the sign.
I mean, honestly,
and did they catch him in the middle of the act of removing the sign?
They said, so police were called to the gated community December 15th after residents complained about the vandalized sign. When they arrived, authorities found a damaged sign. They found a damaged sign was in a water fountain. So I love
Hell
that,
yeah,
too.
Dude. He just tossed it in the fountain.
The individual letters spelling out plantation appeared to have been intentionally broken off of both sides of the sign. Wolf, who is famous for the catchphrase, "Let's go to the videotape," was also allegedly captured on surveillance footage, chipping the sign off the community's front gate. I love this guy. And I love, honestly, this is me. 81 years old. We used to do bad things when we were kids, taking signs and stuff. This is a good use,
yeah, absolutely,
of your ability to just say fuck the law.
And also, I just like the idea,
or the rules.
You're just at 81. You're 81 years old, right? You're out there. You know what you can do? You can still make the choice to say to yourself, "Let's go fuck shit up tonight.
Let's have some fun.
Let's turn up a volume tonight."
So you figure he probably had, I don't know what you drink at 81, probably like maybe some scotch.
I hope so. He better
like
be. I imagine he's a sportscaster.
Yeah.
I imagine he's probably got Glenlivet 12 years. It's probably his casual
that's
scotch.
That's great, yeah.
You know, he's sitting
Macallan
there.
Macallan 12, yeah.
Clink, 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 standing out there, looking out there, looking at the plantation house, thinking about the plantation house. I don't even know if he was close to it.
I think he lived on the estate.
Oh, yeah. So
this
he sat and he thought about it.
Thinking about it.
Or maybe he was tooling around in a golf cart.
Yeah, could be.
Because that's what I would be
and
doing.
And you know his wife, if he's married, she has heard about this plan for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. So one day I'm going to get up there and I'm going to dig it down. I'm digging down that sign. She's like, "You say it every day. You say it, but you never do it." Like the Michelle Carter woman.
We're going
to
talk.
Who fucking did the text about the suicide. She did that to him, but in a positive way.
Right. Absolutely. So Warner Wolf, hero of the week. Good job, buddy. And there's no reason. I understand. I would not feel comfortable living in a plantation. I get where he's coming from.
It is a bad symbol. It's a beautiful looking house.
Yes.
It's a bad symbol of the past. And technically all of that needs to sort of be
thrown
eradicated.
Into a fountain. It needs to be thrown into a fountain.
It just needs to be eradicated. And you just build a new nice house on that part of town. You could save a chunk of that wall if you want. If
or
it's your grandpappy's old farm, I guess.
You can keep the house. Just call it a villa.
A villa.
A villa.
Ranch home.
Ranch home.
Ranch-style home is a really good alternative to plantation.
So we have got to wrap it up here, but next week we're going to do more of a deeper dive on Michelle Carter.
I mean, because she just got convicted for 15 months for convincing her boyfriend in high school, essentially, to commit suicide.
Yes.
This story is fucked. She's a very intense looking young woman.
She is. And so we'll talk about this, just the concept. She got 15 months. They appealed. She was convicted last year. They appealed. And the appeal has been they did not win
but
the appeal.
But we went through her text.
So,
it's one of those things where it's like, if you ever want a shot in your arm of like, you ever just like want to be upset or be enraged?
Right.
Read through these texts. Because it's fucking brutal.
And yeah, so we'll talk about that next week. Just like, should she be sentenced? It is so over the top. This isn't just like, you're an asshole. And then they're like, you caused that person to commit suicide. This is like straight up the dude
was
in the car.
She's like, get back in the car. Yeah. Go do it. Why haven't you done it yet?
Right.
That's what she keeps saying again and again. Be like, why are you still alive?
Oh my God.
Straight up. Because it's like, you keep saying that you're going to do these things, but then you don't do them.
Right.
Like they are, like, it's about finally booking that vacation that they've been talking about going
on.
Like that kind of weird boyfriend-girlfriend fight, but it's fucking not.
Absolutely. So email us at sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com with your thoughts on that. Because I am actually really – that's a fun discussion, I think.
I think so.
A slippery slope too, because I don't want to be blamed for someone's death because
– Don't tell them to commit suicide over text.
Well, that's a good point.
Say, hey, I love you, don't. Hey, don't.
Hey, don't.
Hey, stop.
That's another good thing.
Don't do that.
That's true too.
Hey. Why don't we just do it in the butt?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think that can get you in a whole nother kind of trouble.
Why not though?
But I don't, because maybe that's not what they wanted to hear at that time, and then they do commit suicide, and next thing you know, you're guilty of them committing suicide because you requested that they have intercourse with your butthole.
Well, I mean, it's just a slippery slope, you're saying. It is a very difficult.
It is. So let's not hash out the conversation now, because we have to talk about something next week. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
First of all, I want you to make sure you're out there. You live by the words of Mario Andretti. Things are under control, you're not going fast enough.
Really?
Right, so you got to get out there. Turn up the volume this week. Every day.
Yep.
Make sure your neighbors know you're home.
That's a good idea.
This week.
I don't know what that means, but
just fucking bang some pots and pans around. And they come around and they say, hey, please be quiet. You're like, if I don't bang my pots and pans, the demons are going to come and kill your family.
Oh,
and
okay.
And you put it on them. You put the threat on them.
Yeah, and then they're happy to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes all the sense in the world. That's
yeah, right?
That's not going to get you in trouble. All right, everyone.
Hey, man, live your life like you got one of them. Remember that, because you do.
You only got one.
You only got one.
You only got one.
I want you to love your significant other. If you're alone, I'm sorry.
That's fine. You'll find someone, or just enjoy being alone.
But you love that significant other like you could end up like the other dregs of the earth with no one.
Well, also, people like to be alone.
Sure, I've heard that.
It's good to be alone for a little while.
I know. I agree with that. Yeah, sure, yeah. But it's better to not be.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
And laugh, ha, ha, ha. If you're ever feeling sad, that's a good thing to do. Just go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, but not, you can't do it at a funeral.
Yeah, you can, but then it kind of sounds like you're crying.
Ah, that's good. Don't do it at a funeral or don't do it at a court date, because the judge will take offense to it, and judges are very egomaniac.
And they fucking don't let anything slide.
No, they are.
Nerds.
Judges are intense. They're on a power trip.
Yeah.
They are. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Yo, me. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Fuckers.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just trying to stifle a horrible burp.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.